Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And this week I'm back with Lloyd, my good friend Lloyd. We won't go into last names because not that Lloyd cares, I don't think, but the program suggests that for many, anonymity is a real important thing. So, you know, you can't really tell for sure if this is Lloyd or Harry or James and if I'm really Scott or Ralph or... I'll let you in a little secret. My real name is Ralph, but let's not repeat that. Welcome, Lloyd.
Morning, Scott. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, great to have you back again. And we like to have people on this program who have been on the program before, only so we can say, has anything changed in your life? And I mean, especially someone who's admittedly in recovery, you know, and doing great, by the way. Congratulations on the number of months you're putting behind you. And that year coming up looks really, really nice on you. And
thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah. How's it been? I mean, you know, first year is usually pretty tough. So.
Yes, the first year has been tough. But, you know, it's been challenging. But it's been rewarding as well.
Yeah. So when you say rewarding, in that I guess the greatest reward is to, you know, I see on a lot of your posting, to wake up alive every day, and but really alive and, you know, not half dead due to some sort of substance or alcohol or whatever the choice of drug or substance or liquid happened to be. But I know in your case it wasn't booze so much, but... did you have a favorite drug?
I was, for a lot of years, involved in with cocaine.
Okay.
And that took me down on, you know, on a rough path. But, you know, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
And I'm in giving back now.
Yeah.
So it feels great.
Seems to be the theme of a lot of your writings about giving back, and I guess that's... It's important, and it's a good thing, because you know, for a lot of us, giving back is a hard thing to do. The life of anyone in recovery generally results from a selfish way of life, right? I mean, even if we don't plan it, and even if we're generous with our money, we make sure we've got enough for this drug or this habit or this behavior, you know, as long as we're in that thing. And it's nice to come out of it and to truly feel like we exist not only for me, but for someone else out there. You know, somebody who may be listening to your experiences will not have to go the distance you did to get to a place of sobriety. You know,
so yeah, it's... And when I say giving back, I mean, like, I know there's probably people, audience in the jails and institutions listening mm-hmm. to us right now. And I remember when I was there... In the recovery house too, you know, I, you know, there's people that, you know, they made a living amends by giving back. They came back and they, you know, they told us how, you know, what we should do and expect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel good. I go back every Monday to the recovery house that I was at. And, you know, I try and speak with the new clients and give them hope.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's hope that we're looking for.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. And I find, you know, after many years in the jail part of our services, that hope is the main ingredient to get those guys to where they're going to accept that recovery is a hard road. You know, I mean, and you know, and I mean, especially the beginning to make a decision that is really going to take you away from that stuff. You know, something that's kind of sustained you maybe in a lot of ways for, you know, at least in your mind for a lot of years. You know, and then all of a sudden you're going to not be with it. And to make that decision to be strong enough and courageous enough and to do the due things, that takes a huge move of strength. You know, of courage and of hope. And if I can't give a guy hope, he's not going to make a decision of any kind to do anything. He's going to look the same at the end of our jail meetings as he did in the beginning, where we like to just see that, you know, that we've introduced something that's making a change in a life, you know, and we do. We're lucky, you know. God uses us that way, I think, and we're able to see people change almost momentarily. When you go back to the institution there and talk to new clients and so on, do you more or less share most of your own experiences and how you came through it and that sort of thing? Like,
yes, I start off by going right to where it all started from, you know, when I was in the hotel room and I was partying and, you know, I bought several $100 worth of drugs and, you just wake up one day and you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I decided to walk away from that and, you know, do a geographical change and look for changes.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point, because the geographical cure, as we know, in and of itself doesn't work. But the premise that you move because you want to change your peer group, like you did, you know, and get away from those who do what they've always done and where you were included, to remove yourself from that is a wise thing. Other people will, you know, they'll move themselves from, you know, one downtown place to another downtown place, but they'll exist the same way they did in the other part. So in other words, they'll get over there and immediately, without even thinking, they'll be looking for what they had access to so easily in this other place. So you've done it differently, and that's interesting, because even, you know, in your own words, you're in a place where the stuff is still accessible. You can get whatever you want pretty much anytime you want, but you've, I think, dissociated with the people who you did that stuff with. Is that, am I getting it right? Or
yeah, you're getting that right. And I go back to, you know, I'm from Brampton. I'm not scared to say that. Mm-hmm. I'm from Brampton. I go back to Brampton, you know, every 3 months and, you know, walk through some of the places I used to walk through and see some of the people I used to see. And which is, there are not many left. But the guys that I do see, I could see myself. I look at them and I could see myself. Mm-hmm. In their eyes, and it's you know, it's troubling sometimes, and it's disheartening to see that. But you know, everybody I meet, I tell them what it took for me to get out, and what I gained by getting out, and I encourage them to get out.
Yeah, and you're healthy enough now to walk around in that, to see that, you know, to see a reflection of what you could be in someone else, and to excuse me, stay strong enough to move away from it, you know, and that's good, and you know, congratulations on that. Anyway, let's hold our thoughts for a minute here. We're going to take a quick break. Jay's going to take us out, and I'll bet you any money he's going to be paying some bills here.
You're right on. What about that, Scott? Yeah, it's time to pay those bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.